The first lesson is from John chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Luke chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The third lesson continues from Luke chapter 24. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, alleluia! Christ is risen. It is pretty great to say that. We've been looking forward to it all Lent season, of course. We do proclaim today that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead, and that the great, wonderful gospel news that our Savior lives, well, that's just an amazing thing to have to be able to share with other people. As we see our readings today in the Gospels of that first Easter day, we get to see that same sort of excitement mixed with a bit of confusion and wonder. Imagine what it was like for Mary when she was first there in the garden, looking into the tomb, when she realizes that Jesus' body is missing, and then she sees Jesus for the very first time that day and understands who he is. She clings to him and he says, "Do not hold on to me, but instead go and tell my other disciples. Tell them that I am risen." And she goes running to them. She's very excited. She finds them and she says, probably not this way, but she says it anyways as well, "Alleluia! Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You know, last year, I fit this into the sermon 7 times. We're up to 2 now. We'll keep track. Now, of course, the disciples are shocked. They're amazed. This couldn't be true. They had seen him die. They knew that Jesus was in the tomb. And yet, here they've been given this great news that they couldn't possibly really believe. It couldn't be factual. Jesus couldn't be alive. He should be dead. But they run back to the tomb and they go and check inside, and sure enough, he's not there. They return back to their friends, their family, with just complete disbelief. How could this be? Now, if later in the day, indeed the day has gone far into it, it's late into Easter, and these two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. As they're there, they're discussing things and wondering, how could this possibly be true? Mary said that she saw the tomb empty and she saw Jesus, and as they're doing this, Jesus appears and walks up alongside them and asks, "What are you talking about?" And of course, they explain to him as if he doesn't know. And as they're doing this, Jesus then begins to share with them about how this was the plan from the very beginning. This was what God intended to do. Ever since the fall of man in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, the plan was that Jesus Christ would come to be the Savior of the world, that he would indeed redeem his people. And as they're walking to Emmaus, they're realizing, man, this is pretty amazing. We love listening to this guy, and it is getting pretty late. So, you know, it's getting late. Why don't you just come inside with us, and we have dinner here. You can join us for a meal, and would you please tell us some more stories? We kind of like them. You're doing a great job with this. Now, as Jesus and them are having a meal, he breaks the bread, and their eyes are open the same way Mary's was, and they realize, "This is Jesus." And in that moment, he disappears. They realize, "Wah, we can't keep this to ourselves. We have to go tell the disciples too." So they go running back. And it was a bit of a trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but they go running back to the other disciples. They get there and they say, again, maybe not in these words, but, "Alleluia! Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What an amazing thing to be able to share. The second group of people to get to tell that Jesus truly was alive. And the disciples, they're discussing this, or how could this really be? Now it's been multiple people have seen him. They're shocked. They're not sure really how this could possibly be true. I mean, they had seen him raise other people from the dead. Just a little over a week ago, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. But it's a lot easier to, of course, raise people when you yourself are alive. I mean, I can do things better when I'm alive too. But here we have Jesus, who apparently is alive, having just risen from the grave. Of course, we know because he's God and he's able to do that. Now, as they're shocked about this, almost unwilling to believe it, Jesus appears alongside them. That would be shocking and startling too, so we can imagine why they would be surprised. He says to them, "Peace to you." He says, "Take a look at the holes in my hands and in my feet as well. It is I. Touch me and see." And as they're marveling and looking at Jesus and seeing this is real, this has actually happened, they get to see that this Savior, Jesus Christ, is there bodily from the grave. He truly has risen. And he shows them in one way also that many of you will be doing soon. You'll be heading off for your Easter dinners. He asks, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Now, he's showed up pretty late in the day, but thankfully they have some leftovers. They have a piece of broiled fish for him, and he gets to enjoy a meal there. And as he finishes it, he explains to them again, saying, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand that he truly was the Christ, and he shared with them how this was God's plan from the beginning. They got to see, hear, feel that Jesus Christ was truly alive, and experience that this is a wonderful good news for the whole world that they all need to hear. It was God's plan from the beginning that he would redeem us, and that all of us would join together in the same wonderful joy that they had, saying, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Four times. We're doing good. Now, of course, this great good news that Jesus Christ has not just died for you and for me to pay for our sins on the cross, but that he lives and has defeated death itself, that we can trust that because of Jesus Christ, we too will be risen from the grave. We know our Savior is strong enough to defeat sin and death and to bring you and me to our Father in heaven. Because of that first Easter day, we all have this wonderful hope, this great joy. It surpasses all human understanding, and it lets us know and trust and feel that our God loves us, and he is powerful to save, and that he has indeed risen from the grave, and will do the same for you and for me. And so this Easter day and every day, we proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's paid for our sins, and that our God continues to live and reign through all eternity. And so one more time, for good measure. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed! Alleluia!
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.